A U.S. News & World Report poll reveals that 96% of all Americans celebrate Christmas in one form or another. Yet 48% claim that the Santa Claus tradition and giving of gifts detracts from the religious meaning of the holiday. It's the season for mistletoe, eggnog, and decorating the tree. But the origins of Christmas may be different than what you've been led to believe. Its history is quite controversial. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
When Steven Nisenbaum published The Battle for Christmas in 1996, it received cover story attention in U.S. News & World Report. A book published a year earlier, Christmas in America, A History, caused a similar stir. These authors proved historically that most Christmas customs can't be found in the Christian Bible, but are rooted in ancient paganism and modern commercialism. Just what are the origins of the modern Christmas celebration? Was Jesus born on December 25th? Should the origins of holiday customs even matter to Christians? A little later in the program, we're going to discuss that controversial question with the author of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter Which Days We Keep? Now let me ask you, have you ever wondered why people cut down an evergreen tree, put it up in their homes, and decorate it with tinsel and bright bulbs? How did mistletoe become part of the Christmas celebration, along with exchanging gifts and caroling? Renowned Episcopalian priest Dr. Earl W. Count relates his personal discovery of the origins of Christmas in his book, 4,000 Years of Christmas, A Gift from the Ages. Dr. Count enthusiastically relates historical connections between the custom of exchanging gifts on the 12 days of Christmas and customs originating in pagan Bronze Age Babylon. He shows that decorating with mistletoe was adopted by Christians from Druid mystery rituals, and that December 25th, that date, has more to do with the ancient Roman Saturnalia than with Jesus Christ. Did you know that early Christians didn't begin to observe the birthday of Jesus until centuries after his death? The early Christians abhorred the customs and rituals of the pagan world around them. The first century Greek city of Corinth was a place filled with various polytheistic religions. Customs included temple prostitution and priests who performed sacrifices to the pantheon of the Greeks and Romans. Now, the Apostle Paul writes of these people in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 through 21. If you don't have a Bible, go get one. We're in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 19 through 21. Paul says, "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. But I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Now, what happened to change many Christians from Paul's stance of abhorring and resisting pagan forms of worship to acceptance and participation in the name of Jesus Christ? Saturnalia was an ancient Roman festival celebrated during the last days of December in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture. The Roman Saturnalia included drinking parties and debauchery. Its practices were diametrically opposed to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, nowhere does the Bible teach that the disciples of Jesus observed his birthday. In fact, as late as the 3rd century, Origen declared that it was sinful to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. But tremendous forces were pressuring Christian communities away from the apostles' original teachings to avoid mixing idolatry and paganism with the worship of one God. Thousands of pagans were marginally converting to Christianity, and they refused to give up the rituals and ceremonies of their former non-Christian religious experiences. Now, Dr. Count sums up this historical struggle, quote, "To the pagans, the Saturnalia were fun. To the Christians, the Saturnalia were an abomination in homage to a disreputable God who had no existence anyway. The Christians, moreover, were dedicated to the slow, uphill task of converting these roistering pagan Romans. There were many immigrants into the ranks of the Christians by this time, but the church fathers discovered to their alarm that they were also facing an invasion of pagan customs. The habit of Saturnalia was too strong to be left behind. At first, the church forbade it, but in vain. When a river meets a boulder that will not be moved, the river flows around it. If the Saturnalia would not be forbidden, let it be tamed, unquote. Now, compounding this pagan pressure was that December 25th was a great festival in Mithraism, the Persian religion of the sun god. In 274 AD, Roman Emperor Aurelian declared December 25th the birthday of the invincible sun. In time, the sun of righteousness, Jesus Christ, became indistinguishable with the pagan sun god in the worship of hundreds of thousands of converts throughout the Roman Empire. Instead of being Christ's force to change the world, Christianity was changed by the pagan world it was supposed to transform. By the 4th and 5th century, Saturnalia was masquerading as a Christian observance. Not only were Saturnalia's date and rituals adopted by many Christians, but many times celebrations continued to be riotous and nothing more than drunken parties. Now listen to this account, once again told by Dr. Count. Quote, "There exists a letter from the year 742 AD, in which St. Boniface complains to Pope Zacharias that his labors to convert the heathen Franks and Alemans, which were Germanic tribes, were being handicapped by the escapades of the Christian Romans back home. The Franks and the Alemans were on the threshold of becoming Christians, but their conversion was retarded by their enjoyment of lurid carnivals. When Boniface tried to turn them away from such customs, they argued that they had seen them celebrated under the very shadow of St. Peter's in Rome. Embarrassed and sorry, Pope Zacharias replied, admitting that the people in the city of Rome behaved very badly at Christmas time." Unquote. Over the next 1,000 years, Christmas absorbed customs from German and Scandinavian paganism, like the Yule log and decorating an evergreen tree. Even the Celtic Druids added their own special touch. According to the American Book of Days, quote, "The use of mistletoe at Christmas time is without doubt traced to the Druids, who regarded it with reverence long before the Christian era. In the celebration of the winter solstice, they gathered mistletoe, piled it on the altar, and burned it in sacrifice." Unquote. You know, this historical information is well known. Every year around Christmas time, newspapers and magazines run articles pointing out the pagan origins of this holiday. The most common response is, "So what?" When the next segment, we're going to talk with an author who challenges this nonchalant approach to Christmas, so don't go away.
Do you know the real Christmas story? The Christmas season is fast approaching. Do you know the origin of modern Christmas customs and whether they have any connection to Christianity? Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand the real Christmas story and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Many people approach the Christmas season with sort of a vague longing for, maybe we can call it a Currier and Ives Christmas, a Christmas with more spiritual meaning and less commercialization. Is the spiritual longing many people feel at this time simply a problem with our modern, fast-paced commercial rendition of Christmas? Or is there something wrong in the Christmas observance itself? We have with us today David Trabig, author of Holidays or Holy Days, Does It Matter Which Days We Keep? And David, we're glad to have you back on the program.
Hello, Gary. It's nice to be back.
Now, first of all, in your writings, you take a rather negative view of Christians observing Christmas. Why?
Well, the answer is really quite simple. I take a negative view of this holiday because it isn't authorized by God. Throughout the pages of the Bible, there's not a single reference to a Christian ever observing Christmas, even though there is the biblical message about Christ's birth that is included in this celebration. It is really somewhat of a hybrid holiday, and the idea of it being a truly Christian holiday is sadly mistaken.
Now, when you call it a hybrid holiday, are you referring to the various customs from different nations that have contributed to sort of the overall Christmas observance?
The hybridization actually goes much deeper than that. This holiday originated in paganism as a day to worship the sun. During the first century A.D., when the New Testament was written, Christians observed the biblical holy days of God as recorded in the Old Testament, only with new Christian meaning. They wouldn't have anything to do with the Saturnalia and Calend, that means the moon, celebrations of the pagans that occurred at the end of December and the beginning of January. The earliest Christmas observance historians are able to document occurred about 300 years after Christ's death. Over the next several centuries, what had been so soundly condemned within Christianity, that is, the observance of Christmas, now began to be accepted as a way to win converts. Pagans were told they could continue their parties on December 25th if they'd now conduct them in honor of the Son of God instead of the Sun God. So the hybridization began. Christianity began to mix with paganism. The thinking was that Christianity would eventually win over the paganism. The reality is that paganism won. So from the outset, Christmas was and remains today a mixture of paganism with a thin veneer of Christianity.
And maybe a question we should ask, you know, as we talk about Christmas here, biblically, can we really prove when Jesus was born?
According to the Bible, we can know for a certainty that Jesus was not born on December 25th. Now, Luke's gospel account tells us that when Jesus was born, shepherds were living in the fields keeping watch over their sheep. Various historical references explain that the shepherds around Bethlehem did not stay in the fields during the rainy, cold month of December. They were only in the fields in the summer and early autumn. Another item also disproves the December 25th date as Christ's birthday. Luke also tells us that a census was being taken at the time of Jesus' birth. The inclement weather of December was not the time when censuses were taken. Doing so then would have been largely self-defeating. Without going into all the details, I'll just say those are included in my booklet. I'll just say that the Bible indicates that Jesus was probably born around the end of September.
Where then does this December 25th date for the birth of Jesus come from?
This date was closely associated with several pagan holidays. The Greek Bacchanalia observance around December 21st honored Bacchus, the god of wine, with drunken celebrations. The Roman Saturnalia, celebrated December 17 through 24, honored the god of time and concluded with a human sacrifice. The actual date of December 25th came from Persia. Their god of light was called Mithra, and it was believed that Mithra was born out of a rock on this date, December 25th. In Rome, the Emperor Aurelian declared December 25th Dies Invicti Solis, the day of the invincible sun. And as I explained earlier, the story of Jesus' birth was later overlaid on top of this pagan celebration with the date already established.
You had said that it took about 300 years for Christmas to actually work its way to sort of mainstream Christianity. Why do you think it took centuries for that to become entrenched in Christianity?
Gary, that's an excellent question that most people today have never considered. If you spoke with the average person on the street, they'd most likely say that Christmas has been around forever. You might find some older folks that would say it's become bigger during their lifetimes, but most assume that it's always been around in the accepted practice of Christianity. But it hasn't. Christmas was rigorously denounced in the second and third centuries by famous theologians such as Origen and Clement of Alexandria. Even in the 5th century, Pope Leo tried to remove some of the pagan practices associated with Christmas, which he considered to be no different than pagan sun worship. But his efforts were unsuccessful. And it's even kind of interesting, in more modern times, there has been opposition to Christmas as well. For example, in England, the Puritans refused to celebrate this date. Parliament passed a law in 1647 that meted out punishment for anyone caught observing Christmas. Even here in the U.S., in colonial America, the Pilgrims of Massachusetts made a point of working on Christmas Day as on any other day. And in Puritan New England, Cotton Mather, the noted minister of the time, described Yuletide merrymaking as an affront to the grace of God. So history tells us that the reason it took so long for Christmas to be accepted is because most people, over the years, realized that it was an inherently unchristian practice.
Now, in more modern times, say in our American society, how have economic forces changed Christmas observance?
Well, Gary, really the economic forces are largely responsible for the growth of Christmas. Over the last 130 years in particular, merchants in the U.S. have systematically promoted Christmas as a time for increased spending. Invoking images of family togetherness and celebrations, their advertising has been astronomically successful. Now some merchants earn 50% of their annual profits during the Christmas season. In fact, in 1996, it was estimated that Christmas sales pumped $37 billion into our nation's economy.
Christmas, can it be salvaged into a true Christian holiday? We'll discuss that question right after this.
Do you know the real Christmas story? The Christmas season is fast approaching. Do you know the origin of modern Christmas customs and whether they have any connection to Christianity? Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand the real Christmas story and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found. Answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. For your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back on a telephone hookup with author David Trabig discussing the origins of Christmas. Now, David, before you go off the line here, let me ask you this. Concerning what we've discussed so far, do you think it's possible for Christians to somehow salvage Christmas into a holiday that truly honors Jesus Christ?
Gary, Christmas as a Christian holiday is fatally flawed. First, it mixes paganism with Christianity. And secondly, even the biblical veneer is shaky. As we've already noted, the supposed biblical messages often contradict the Bible. So it simply isn't possible to put Christ back into Christmas. He was never really there in the first place.
I want to thank you for being with us today on the program.
My pleasure.
By the way, if you would like to get a free personal copy of the information we've been talking about today, just call, and you'll be able to receive in the mail, Holidays or Holy Days. Does it matter which days we keep? Now, that number is 1-800-966-9232. If you want to write it down, it's 1-800-966-9232. No one will try to sell you anything or contact you later for money. It's free, and it's that simple. Not only do many people not know the ancient origins of Christmas, but many don't know about the rather turbulent modern history of this holiday. In the Middle Ages, Christmas observances in Europe continued to contain the excesses in behavior of Saturnalia. Penny Randstad in Christmas in America History writes about the moral debate that raged. Quote, some clergy stressed that fallen humankind needed a season of abandonment and excess, as long as it was carried on under the umbrella of Christian supervision. Others argued that all vestiges of paganism must be removed from the holiday. Less fervent Christians complained about the unreasonableness of church law and its attempt to change custom. Yet the church sustained the hope that sacred would eventually overtake profane as pagans gave up their revels and turned to Christianity, unquote. For the most part, this just didn't happen. Some leaders of the Protestant Reformation tried reforming Christmas celebrations but created little real change. The English Puritans waged a war on Christmas observance as unchristian behavior. A U.S. News & World Report article, In Search of Christmas, states, quote, when Christmas landed on American shores, it fared little better, talking about what had happened in England and the Puritan churches. In colonial times, Christ's birth was celebrated as a wildly social event, if it was celebrated at all. Virginians hunted and danced and feasted, while poor city dwellers partied and thronged the streets in boisterous demonstrations, often begging food and drink at the homes of the well-to-do. Puritans in New England flatly refused to observe the holiday, unquote. It's interesting that in some colonial cities, an ancient custom was unwittingly revived. You see, the Roman Saturnalia had adopted an even more ancient custom of reversing the roles of master and slave for a day during Saturnalia. In early America, groups of poor men in New York and Philadelphia marched on the homes of wealthy citizens and demanded gifts. In more modern times, many Christians have become concerned about the commercialization of the day that is supposed to celebrate the birth of the Son of God. Every year, signs in front of neighborhood churches remind people to put Christ back into Christmas, or Jesus is the reason for the season. It seems that the more important question really is, was Jesus ever the real reason for the season? Christmas has become such a central holiday of American culture, it is difficult to get anyone to truly evaluate its Christian validity. You be the jury. The facts are these. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Jesus Christ's apostles rejected any pagan ceremonies and rituals in their worship of God and Christ. The early church didn't observe Jesus' birthday. The selection of December 25th was based upon the Roman Saturnalia, a day for worshiping the god Saturn. Most Christmas customs, decorating the evergreen tree, use of mistletoe, exchanging of gifts, Santa Claus, all come from pagan religions. Christianity tried unsuccessfully to rid itself of the paganism of Christmas for over 1,000 years. Throughout its history, Christmas has propagated wild parties where people get drunk. The modern Christmas is more about convincing children to hassle their parents to buy toys than worshiping Christ. You be the jury. What is your verdict? Some say, but we can't take Christmas away from the children. Others, as long as it brings people to Jesus, what does it matter? At the beginning of the program, we talked about Paul's instructions in 1 Corinthians to Christians in the pagan city of Corinth. He continues his instructions in the letter we call 2 Corinthians. Now, once again, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and read along. Let's start in 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the vital question for us today is, how can we put Jesus back into the season when he never was part of it to begin with? It's a difficult question, isn't it? It's one that's important for you to answer. Why were you born? You know, there's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Do you know the real Christmas story? The Christmas season is fast approaching. Do you know the origin of modern Christmas customs and whether they have any connection to Christianity? Please call for our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. You need to understand the real Christmas story and consider what God Himself thinks about this holiday. In our free booklet, Holidays or Holy Days, you can discover the truth. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.